two best friends are filming a comedy about getting revenge on the bullies at their high school. One of them isn't joking. That is the setup for a movie called The Dirties, which premiered at the Slamdance Film Festival last week. Slamdance, of course, runs alongside the Sundance Film Festival. They both take place in the same town, Park City, Utah. And The Dirties actually won the Grand Jury Award for Narrative Feature at Slamdance. And so with me today to talk about the film and the award is Matthew Johnson. Matt co-wrote, produced, directed, and stars in The Dirties. What's up, dude?
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And so, when I was at Sundance, I did an interview with Drake DeRemus, who won Sundance 2 years ago, Grand Jury Award, similar to the award that you just won. And I asked him, what happens the day after you win the Grand Jury Award at Sundance? I'm curious. Do people start calling you like crazy? Yada, yada. So I'm going to ask you the same question. That's going to be my first question. What happens the day after you win the Slamdance Grand Jury Award? Has anything happened since then? I know it's only been a few days, but I'm curious. Is your phone ringing off the hook? What's happening?
We had to go back to Toronto, so that was a bad day. Spent all day in the Salt Lake City airport, but yeah, I mean, we've gotten a lot of attention. I think this film was interesting because we had a lot of people who were interested in the film before we had won, just because of the story, because people thought it was so controversial. And I think people were talking about it as a controversial film. And I think winning the award helped people, especially in Los Angeles and New York, know that it wasn't sort of like a joke film. Because I think early on, that's what people were viewing it as. They thought it was like a school shooting comedy film or like a mockumentary about Columbine. And it's definitely not that. And I think that that getting a juried award like that makes people realize that it, or makes people think of it as a serious film as opposed to sort of a gag. So it helped a lot. And yeah, we've been getting a lot of questions. A lot of people wanted to talk to us about what the film was supposed to be doing, and we're really grateful. Like, it's been amazing. It's been like the best time of my life the last 2 weeks by far.
I could imagine. I could imagine making your first feature film and winning an award like that must be just completely awesome. And I hope it does well. But I mean that I'll segue into a question about that, because when I'm watching the film, I'm laughing at times. It's a thriller. It's scary. It's funny. Right before it premiered at Slamdance, I wrote a post on movies.com wondering whether or not The Dirties would be the scariest movie to premiere at Slamdance since Paranormal Activity. And to a certain degree, it is. It's a very scary movie, but it's also funny. And so I'm curious, what do you consider this movie? What is it? What genre is it in?
Yeah, that we asked that a lot, especially when we were trying to raise money for it, because it's not a comedy. I don't think of things like this as comedy in terms of their structure. I think what I'm really interested in is fake documentaries, and so that's sort of the category I focus in. Like movies like Cloverfield was kind of like it, but I mean it was sort of a much more Hollywood approach. Like what it's trying to be is like a real life portrait of what high school could be like, and so we'll try to inject like dramatic structure or comedy structure or like the cliches, those things, although they are there, we don't start from there. So putting it in a genre is kind of hard. I mean, I think of it as a drama about two best friends in high school, and it just so happens the kids are funny. But you fake doc, because I hate the term mock documentary. Mockumentary. I don't think that's what this is.
So now you're making the film. I don't know when you began production on it, but I imagine it was at some point the beginning of 2012, 2011.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So Sandy Hook happens a couple of months ago, and now that happens, and your film, I imagine you're getting ready to hoping to get into these festivals. I don't think you were probably not told that you made Sundance yet at that point. Are you freaked out by that? Do you feel like are you scared now? Are you like, oh crap, what did we get ourselves into? Or do you feel like, now this will help kind of begin a conversation maybe, and it'll help in some way? I mean, how do you feel making a film that's about what your film is about when something like that happens?
Actually, it was, we'd been accepted to Slamdance, I think, 2 weeks before, and we were having our cast and crew screening in Toronto. So all the people who had worked on the film and acting in the film, and it wasn't a big crew, but you know, at least 100 people. And we were having it in a theater in Toronto on the Tuesday, and then Sandy Hook happened on the Friday before.
Oh wow!
And it just changed everything for us. We considered canceling the screen. We were wondering, like, whether or not this is the kind of thing that we needed to stop showing this film for. We got two calls from Sundance that day, and we thought that they were going to pull the film out of the festival. But then we started talking about it, and we had our screening for our crew, and it became sort of clear to all of us that this is an important film exactly because of its relevance. I mean, Sandy Hook, it was a huge tragedy, but it's not an isolated incident. I mean, this film is very much attached to the way we felt about Columbine when we were kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why this film is the way that it is. And I think a part of the reason that it seems like these things just come out of nowhere when these tragedies at school happen is because everybody works so hard to forget what just happened and put it in the past without actually talking about it. And I think this film is sort of trying to be a remedy to that. As you say, its goal is to start a conversation about maybe why these things happen and maybe the ugly of these things that people don't want to address, the psychological side, maybe sort of a more compassionate side. And that was our intention when we made the film. So we were happy to be able to show it to an audience that had these things sort of at the forefront of their mind, because if they can accept it in this situation, then it's a good sign for moving the conversation forward.
You know, it's interesting when something, you know, an event like Sandy Hook happens, or even the theater shooting in Aurora, and people are, you know, movie fans don't want to feel like violent movies or video games played a role in this sort of thing happening. You know, I guess the stock answer is like, I watch violent movies, I love violent movies, and I don't go around shooting people, you know. So I find it interesting to make a film where your characters are obsessed with movies, obsessed with violent movies, obsessed with Quentin Tarantino movies, especially after Django just came out and everybody was loading Quentin Tarantino up with that same question. And so, I mean, talk about, how do you feel about that? How do you feel violent movies or video games, do you feel like they impact and they take an effect on someone, or do you feel like it's got to be a lot more going on other than that? Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think clearer than anything else, the point that that we were going at with the Dirties was about celebrity, mm-hmm. and almost like a cult of celebrity and the American sense of being a super celebrity, wanting to be a star. And while that tied in certainly with violence in movies and video games, I think, like most people, don't draw any connections between the violence seen and the violence that people enact on one another. I think in the film, Matt and Nolan are cinephiles and they're obsessed with movies, but Matt in particular is obsessed with fame and obsessed with being seen, and is a sort of narcissistic obsession with his own image. So in that sense, I think there's definitely a connection between the Hollywood machine and North American culture and violence, but it's a psychological violence. I don't agree with the idea that that enacting violence in any other form is going to lead to real world results. And I also, to that point, because that seems to be the big talking point politically right now, mm-hmm. I think that that's like the most surface facile look at this problem, to reduce it to gun control and violence in video games. I think that's ridiculous, because you address those things and those are the absolute most top layer of what's really going on, when the meat and what we really need to be talking about is what compels people emotionally to do these things. And that's, I mean, obviously what our film is about.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of my favorite moments in the movie is I think it's really the only moment that Matt actually sort of second guesses himself and second guesses his actions. And I believe it was Owen. It could have been someone else that calls him crazy. And he goes to his mother and he asks his mother, "Mom, am I crazy?" And he has sort of a conversation right there with his mother. And I feel like right there is where I feel like these problems and these issues could be talked about more. And it was one of the scariest moments of the film too, because as a parent, you want the mom to sort of realize here that something's going on with her son. And I feel like part of her does, but part of her just doesn't feel like it's anything larger than it is. And I mean, talk about that moment. I'm just curious about that moment in the movie.
That was an interesting moment for us, because that was my real mom and she didn't know we were filming. so it's like the rest of the film, where we would go into real environments and interact with real people without them knowing that it was a movie, to try to evoke something that you wouldn't get in a film normally, like a slightly more real moment. And we had to shoot that a couple times because the microphones we were using kept dying. And when we finally got it, my mom is she's a medical doctor in Toronto. And my whole life, she sort of talked to me about mental health issues and why people behave the way they do, and empathy more than anything else. And so anyways, her sort of thoughts were kind of the impetus behind this film. But I knew that when I talked to her about, you know, whether or not I was crazy, she would sort of react in a certain way that would be interesting for this character. But that's sort of beside the point. I mean, in the film, what's happening is clearly Matt is reaching out to the only other person he's got, really, because his only two connections are his mother and his best friend, Owen. And he's sort of looking to see if this game that he's playing in his head is real or not. And I think that any mother in that situation is always going to think, okay, my son's okay, like nothing's really going on, because to start addressing what's really going on is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to sit down and be like, well, what are you really feeling? What are you really thinking? That psychological unpacking is very hard for people to just accept and start doing. And I think that's why most parents, and the Columbine parents, were the same way. They thought, we didn't think there was anything wrong with our son. We didn't think there was anything going on. And I think it's because we choose to ignore any signs that we see, because it can be tough to face that the kids aren't all right. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
It can be very tough to face that.
You know, you speak about Columbine, and the two kids are reading the Columbine book in the movie. Did you, as you're preparing for this film and you're preparing to kind of tell the story of these characters, do you look at Columbine? Did you do a lot of research at Columbine? Did you research those two kids? Do you research other school shooters? How do you kind of approach these characters in terms of being inspired by other people that exist, or just creating them in your head? Where do they come from?
A big part of our research, I mean, the idea for the film was the co-writer Josh Bowles's. And he and I were watching the BBC documentary about Columbine that actually has a lot of home videos that Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris made of the two of them. And what's funny about those videos when you watch them is that they are so much like just two regular kids making silly videos in a media class. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you were just to see those, you would never think, oh, here are two psychotic potential school shooters. You never think that. And that was so interesting to us. The idea that these people that everybody views as monsters and hellspawn could, in another light, just be kind of silly, naive kids trying to make funny movies. And that was so compelling, this idea, that it just seemed worth exploring. And the further we got into it, the more we read and looked at from their sort of home video collection, you get a much more empathetic picture of these two guys. I mean, these two sad, sick, like socially rejected dudes. And that's not the story of the media talks about, because obviously that means seen as insensitive or looking at it the wrong way, because it's much easier to just paint somebody like that as evil and forget about them. And we were more interested in what was kind of going on in their heads. And so, yeah, I would say definitely we inspiration from that. Also, there's a lot of little moments in the 30s that if you look closely, come right out of those movies. Lines and things that we do and things that we say to one another we almost took verbatim.
Yeah, it's one of the most interesting things about this movie. It's one of the things that I enjoyed. I enjoyed feeling uncomfortable a lot during this movie because you do sort of – you find these kids empathetic and you like these kids and you like Matt a lot. You know, Owen, you know, does sort of take a different direction than Matt does, but you like Matt a lot. And I mean, you're almost at a point in this film when he keeps saying, no, I'm just going to get the bad guys. I'm just going to get the bad guys, where you're almost like, yeah, he's just going to get the bad guys. Yeah. And it freaks you out as someone who's watching this movie. And I think that it was just a really interesting thing what you did with these characters versus other movies that have kind of tried to portray school shootings where they have these really quiet, detached characters. And you really came at it from a different direction where these kids you'd never expect these kids to be involved in something like this. And so that was an interesting approach.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous. I think that the approach of painting school shooters or any violent person as just a psychotic loner who spends all his time in his room playing video games is ridiculous. Nobody's like that. Yeah. I mean, even the most like detached, sad guy has a story and he has a life and he has reasons for being the way he is. And whether or not, I mean, obviously there's no justification in the world for hurting other people and it's sad and it's criminal. But to completely write these people off as evil and almost worthless is not doing anybody service. And it's not going to help. And this may sound cheesy, but it's not going to help sort of the world get better. It's not going to help society get past this problem. I mean, it's just ridiculous and it's taking a step backwards. So, I mean, what I wanted to do is paint these guys in a way that you saw them as real high school students. We're not too far away. All filmmakers were just a little bit out of high school ourselves. And I remember thinking about these things when I was that young, you know, thinking about, oh man, wouldn't it be great to hurt somebody? Wouldn't it be great to, you know, you have these sort of sick boyhood fantasies that everybody has.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that some people take them much farther than others do.
Yeah. You know, it's, yeah, I completely agree. I mean, and I think you have to humanize these characters in order to make the conversation more accessible, because the more we understand them, the more we even relate to them in a weird way, the easier it is for us to kind of talk about it and access these people and try to figure out what's going on. And so, I think you did a great job there.
Hey, thanks.
You know, I wanted to segue over and now talk about, you know, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you before, and you brought it up yourself, was a lot of this film felt like, are these people acting, or are they just kind of jumping into situations and catching people off guard and filming them and they don't even know they're acting? And so, you know, a lot of this is in a high school. Were you, how did this go down? How many scenes did people know they were in? How many scenes did people not know they were in?
It's a good mix. We had really like amazing producers who were able to get us into some amazing situations. So a lot of the times when you watch Owen and I just in a school surrounded by students, that's us actually in a school with all the other students thinking that we're just enrolled students. I wasn't there for the deal that got made, but we were able to enter the school with our two camera people who also looked like they're in high school and just shoot the movie as though we were students in the school. We could go from class to class, and we shot for about 5 or 6 days in this one school specifically. And we would just shoot all day, just trying to get moments, talking with people. And eventually people were just cool. They knew we were kind of making a movie. They thought it was for a school project. And so we were able to get away with a lot of really fun stuff. Hmm. And then afterwards, when we were done, we were able to go back to these schools, and then they were awesome in getting us releases for the kids that we did use. It was amazing. But that's also mixed with some stuff that we set up. So some of the stuff in classes where the teachers talking their actual scenes, like we staged those with real students, but
But at that point, they sort of knew that they were in the movie. So it's a good mix.
Now, I'm curious to know what the reaction for the film at Slamdance was. It's funny. I watched some of this with my wife, and she, you know, she was kind of half paying attention. She was on her iPad, and I'm watching the movie. And then she kind of looked up at some points, and she realized, okay, this movie is sort of going down the route of it being school shooting, and she grimaced. And I was like, are you grimacing because the movie's bad, or are you grimacing because you don't like that topic? And it's because she didn't like the topic. She was uncomfortable by it because we're very close to Sandy Hook. And I, of course, you know, went back at her and we started having a conversation. I was like, look, we can't have a conversation about this unless we have movies like this that sort of launch into that conversation. And so I'm curious to know, you show this film at Slamdance and we are still close to Sandy Hook. And are you getting – what is the reaction? Is it mixed? Is it positive? Are you getting people that are angry at you for one reason or another? What are you hearing?
It's funny. We expected that. We expected at our very best case scenario in our heads when we were getting on the plane in Toronto was that like there would be some young guys who really think this is amazing, and like everyone else is going to hate us and they're going to think this was just an awful idea. But I mean, we kept waiting for. Not a single person thought that what we were doing was inappropriate or had a problem with it. I think because the idea of the film seems so offensive that you want to go into it hating it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when you watch it beginning to end, it really is like most. It's like pretty sensitive. It's like it's pretty non-controversial. It's just sort of like a humanistic look at what makes somebody kind of lose it.
Exactly.
And so everybody was very supportive. We were amazed. After that first screening, we could walk up and down Main Street in Park City and have five conversations with people who were at that screening or heard about the screening and wanted to talk about the film in the most positive way. And I think because the film is structured like a documentary made by young people, it kind of gets at what so many people in Park City are about, which is, you know, young filmmakers and the voice of a filmmaker. And so because everybody was connecting with that, they really wanted to talk about it, and they were very positive. I mean, we've been pretty floored with the reception.
Now, I'm curious to know how old are you? Because, I mean, you guys all look like you're in high school in this movie, but I'm sure you're not actually in high school. So how old are you?
I mean, when we made the movie, I think we were all – like when we started shooting, we were all 25. Mm-hmm. There's about four of us who more or less made the entire film. And then our producer is, I think, just turned 31. So we're out of high school and out of film school. But he and I are back in film school now. We're doing our grad program.
Cool. And now what are your aspirations for this film? I mean, and I'm curious to know, I don't know if you've been having any conversations with any distributors yet, but are people saying that distributors aren't going to come near this right now because it's too close to Sandy Hook, or are you feeling the opposite, that people are interested in possibly picking up the film? Where are you at now with it?
I mean, I'm mostly left out of those conversations. We have right very early on, we got teamed up with some really smart guys at XYZ, mm-hmm. the company that made The Raid, and they are they're repping the film and trying to get it distributed. I don't think that there is a better time for a film like this to be seen by a lot of people. But we don't have any expectations at all. We're just happy that we were able to make it and get it shown.
I agree completely, Matt. So what do you guys do next? Are you all this one team? Are you going to kind of go on to something else? Are you going to stay in this sort of fake doc world, or are you going to go on to something completely straight narrative? Where are you at now?
Just like as the plane touched down in Toronto, we sort of started talking about this amazing next project, which is about the moon landing that we all think is going to be like 100 times better than the Dirties. We're going to make a fake doc about the three guys in the CIA who orchestrated the moon landing being faked. And these guys are making the documentary in the 60s to try to protect themselves because they know that once they pull this off, because they work for the government, and they know once they pull this off, the government's going to try to kill them so they don't talk about it. But it's going to be incredible. It's going to seem like you're watching like a relic from 1969 that was just discovered. So we're all excited. I think we're going to start shooting it pretty soon, actually.
That's awesome. Now, you know, my last question, Matt, and then I'll let you go. You go back after Slam Dance. You go back to school, and then do you walk into your class and just be like, "So, what's up?" Like, just give me the A now.
Not at all. In fact, it's so funny. Our school was like hated this movie. Everybody thought this movie was so ridiculous when we would talk about it. We were like, "Oh, guys, we made this movie. Like, I think you'll really like it." And professors, I mean, not all of them. I don't mean to paint them all with the same brush. We had such very supportive people in our program, like Jill Golic. But on the whole, I was not seen as a serious film. And I think they're still kind of in denial of the fact that it got recognized as anything. Things are different in Canada. Film schools, I think, are very different in Canada. It's like a much more artistic approach to everything. So this kind of like more strict narrative filmmaking is, it's not seen as like very serious. If that makes any sense.
It does. Matt, I wish you all the luck in the world, man, because I really enjoyed the movie and you're a filmmaker that I want to see more of, and you're a fun guy. So good luck to you in the future, and good luck to the Dirties. And when it eventually hits theaters, we will be talking about it more.
I can't wait. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Awesome. Take care, man.
Peace. Bye.